Thanks for tuning into the Scorebook Live Today podcast. It's NBA Draft Week at Scorebook Live Washington, and several men's basketball players with Washington high school ties hope to be drafted on Thursday. Kevin Porter Jr., Matisse Thybulle, Jalen McDaniels, Jalen Noel, and many more. Now on Scorebook Live Washington, you can find a breakdown of every draft hopeful with Washington ties, as well as a great read on FOSS grad Armon Davis by reporter Todd Millis. If you missed it, we released an episode Tuesday where Scorebook Live's Dan Dickow and ESPN analyst Jay Billis broke down each of the upcoming selections. This here is part two. So coming up, Dan talks to ESPN analyst Sean Farnham. It's a great conversation, and I think you'll like it. So without further ado, Dan Dickow and Sean Farnham.
Scorebook Live today, talking to one of the best college basketball analysts who works for ESPN, has a big-time focus and background on the West Coast, so he knows a lot of these college prospects who are transitioning into opportunities that are coming up this week in the NBA draft. Sean, thanks for joining us. How's it going today?
It's going good. It's an exciting period of time, obviously, with the NBA has done an incredible job of elongating its season. And we go from a finals that had a lot of drama based on injuries, based on Kawhi Leonard and the Raptors winning the championship, and now we immediately shift gears and go right into the NBA draft. And then shortly thereafter, they steal the first part, at least, of July away from the NFL with free agency. And what that's done is it's continued to increase the popularity of the sport. It's continued to keep the sport in center view of sports fans, and I think it's been a great job by Adam Silver in particular.
Yeah, I would agree. Adam Silver has done a phenomenal job of kind of taking what David Stern has done and kind of enhancing a lot of different things. And there's a lot of intrigue and interest in the NBA draft here in the state of Washington, simply because there are six guys with Washington high school ties that have a chance to be drafted. I personally think two will be drafted. One has a chance to go early in the first round, but you know, there's at least six guys who are coming out of college this year that will at least be on summer league rosters, and like I said, a couple have a chance to be drafted. Let's start off with Kevin Porter Jr. from USC. You're an LA guy. You've probably seen him in person a number of times. What are you hearing with his draft evaluation and where he may fall?
Well, I think the biggest thing for him is going to be the mental side. It's not the physical attributes. We all know how explosive he is and how elite of an athlete that he can be, in particular in the open court when he's driving and attacking. I think that those are skills that easily translate over to the next level. I think the bigger issue that you have is some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that went on at USC last year. And there were some moments at USC where not everything inside that locker room was copacetic, and he was part of that. And I think that as a general manager, when you're looking and to invest millions of dollars in a particular player, it has to be more nowadays than just the skill set out on the floor. And look, I'm not saying he's a bad kid by any stretch of the imagination. There's a lot of things that go on in the locker room, and Dan, you know this through your experiences, whether it was at the college level or at the NBA level that you played at, that not everything is going to be great all the time. And sometimes the wheels fall off the wagon and people start pointing fingers unjustly, or you have a small role, but then it gets blown up and made to seem like it's something bigger. So I think the big question for him is, how dialed in is he and how willing is he to not be a star? Because at the next level, he is not a star, certainly right away. He can develop potentially into one, but he's got to be able to want to be a lockdown defensive player. He's got to be able to be comfortable coming off the bench and playing 15 minutes and making an impact at both ends of the floor. And I think that's where a lot of guys, and it's not just him, but a lot of guys, when they get drafted, they're not ready mentally for that, because their whole entire life, they've been the best player or the best athlete or the guy that everybody wanted to talk about. And I think that Porter finds himself in one of those roles, as he's always been the guy. he will not be the guy, at least right away, at the next level. And so he's got to prove that he can be the role player, because the league is full of role players. It's not full of superstars. It's full of role players. And can you accept that role and thrive in it? And if you do, that's when you have a chance to actually become a star in the NBA.
Yeah, those are, you know, a lot of the kind of question marks that I've seen in talking about Kevin Porter Jr. leading into this draft. And that kind of the points you made about guys that are high character guys have a chance to stick. And I'm not saying Kevin Porter Jr. doesn't have a chance to stick. I absolutely think he does with his potential. But another kid from the Seattle area, Eastside Catholic star, ended up going to University of Washington. He has grown over the course of 4 years at University of Washington. That's Matisse Thybulle. He's one of those guys that maybe right off the top you say, I don't think he's going to get drafted because his numbers, at least on the offensive end, don't jump out at you. But if you watch him closely, the way he guards, averages close to 4 steals, a couple blocks a game, can guard multiple positions, he may have a chance to get drafted, and some maybe even say creep into the first round. What's your take on Matisse Thybulle?
I have been very big on Matisse all year long. In fact, if you go back to about mid-January at ESPN, I was saying he should be the National Defensive Player of the Year. They should just stop the award right now and just engrave the trophy like they did for Tiger Woods when he had a 13-shot lead at Pebble. And he has the ability to come in and defend right away. You want to play in the NBA, be a defensive wizard. They're going to find a spot for you. Any team at any level, and this goes for all high school kids too that might be listening to this, you want to impress your coach. This is what I tell kids when they're trying out down here in Los Angeles for their freshman JV or varsity team. Go be the best defensive player on the team. You'll be amazed what will happen. The offense will come along, but can you be the best defensive player on your team? I guarantee you the coach is going to put you out on the floor if you can defend. Guaranteed. And in the NBA, I think that's where Matisse Thybulle is going to earn his money early. And I don't care where he gets drafted. I'm not worried about the offensive game. The offensive game is easily fixed, in particular the shot and the consistency of the shot. That's the one thing that the NBA can do, as well as any business in the world, at fixing a deficit or a hole in someone, is fixing your shot at the professional basketball ranks. Go back and look at Kawhi Leonard's three-point shooting percentage at San Diego State. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't good. And now he's the finals MVP. He was a defensive rebounding machine. Now, very different player, obviously, than Matisse Thybulle. But Matisse has the opportunity to grow into like an Aaron Aflalo type role at the next level. And that's a guy that's making $6 or $7 million a year for about 5 years in the NBA. And then it's up to him to develop that offensive game more. And I think he's a more athletic and longer version of Aaron Aflalo from UCLA. Back in the days when Ben Hallen was coaching, and they made a couple of runs to the Final Four. And that's why I think Matisse is going to have a very good NBA career. I think he's going to be a steal. I think if you get a Matisse Thybulle in the second round, early in the second round, that you're thinking to yourself, we might have a guy that can blossom and grow into a player that will make a difference for our organization. And I think his commitment to wanting to be a good player is there. I think the talk and the conversation about playing the zone versus having to play man-to-man, Matisse can guard anybody. And as you mentioned, he can guard multiple positions. And when you have the instincts that he has to block shots, jump the passing lane, get steals, those are all things that translate regardless of what defensive formation you're playing, whether you're in the zone that they play at Washington or whether he's going to be in the man-to-man that he's going to play in the league.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with his ability to grow into a good shooter, because I've seen it firsthand, guys that earn minutes on the defensive end and become shooters are very valuable. And Matisse Thybulle being a low-maintenance kind of great teammate, I think fits that bill. We'll say
elite-level athlete, Dan. I mean, like,
he is.
Open floor. Like, he's going to flourish in a more spaced-out floor where you can drive. But what he's got to do in order for them to allow him to have that opportunity to drive is he's got to at least make them honor his shot. And that, again, is where he's going to have to grow. And you can do that over the course of summer. Because, see, once you're not in class anymore, you're getting up 1,000 jump shots a day. Like, you've got to be able to be committed to that. And if you commit yourself to it, the improvement will come in 4 or 5 months. And if you're talking 4 or 5 months since the end of the Husky season, well, that's going to put you right around September, which is when you're going into training camp.
Yeah. We'll stay on Montlake Avenue in the University of Washington campus to hear your thoughts on another Husky. Jalen Noel, Garfield High School product out of Seattle, played for Brandon Roy, who had a nice NBA career, who was his coach, but also played at Garfield High School. Now, Jalen's an interesting one to me because I think his mid-range game is as good as anybody's in college basketball a season ago. Now, I know the analytics say we need threes and we need paint points. He might be a guy that stats out athletically as a point guard. What are you hearing about Jalen Noel's draft prospects? Can he sneak into that second round or maybe even higher? Or do you think he might go undrafted?
I think he's probably a second-round pick. And I would say he's like mid-second round. I think analytics are a tricky thing. You know, we talk so much about analytics, but Dan, let me ask you, where does Kevin Durant dominate his scoring? Right elbow.
Yep.
He gets to that right elbow and that space right off the right elbow as much as anybody, and occasionally he'll go to the left elbow. But those are his two quadrants where he's actually absolutely the most efficient player. When you look at Kawhi Leonard, his dominance. Well, is it all just three-point shooting for Kawhi? Is it all in the paint, or is he really good driving right to the baseline and elevating up from about 18 to 20 feet away? And the mid-range game is dying from a youth basketball perspective. However, if you want to be special, do something that everybody else isn't doing. And right now, I'll take a shot that I know you can hit 60% of the time if you're open over a 30% three-point shot. And I know the numbers probably add up and they're probably equal, and I'm not smart enough to figure that out. But I want you to play to your strengths as a player. And what Jalen Noel was able to do all season long was he played to his strength, and he knew who he was, and he knows who he is. And if you have a clear identity of who you are, again, at that next level, you give yourself a chance. Now, I don't think he has the ability to be an elite-level defensive player like a Matisse Thybulle, so I'm not as high on him. Although he can shoot and score the ball better, he's not a shoot-and-score guy at the next level that is elite, that you need to be elite if you don't have some of those other attributes. And I think that's going to be the big question mark coming in. I think the summer league is going to be very important for him after he gets drafted, and he might have a tough decision to be a two-way player for a year, try to earn his stripes, or go overseas and make more money and start a long run, kind of like a Kevin Pangos has been able to do, where right now Pangos can't even come back to the NBA because the NBA can't pay him as much as he's getting paid overseas. And so I think that there's the possibility for him to be an elite-level not an elite-level scorer. I shouldn't say that because that's incorrect, but a competent scorer off the bench at the NBA level, but I don't know if long-term that's going to be where he finds his most success as a professional basketball player.
Yeah, you're so right in saying guys have to learn how to play to their strengths, and you know, the NBA is so much about, defensively at least, is geared towards exposing players' weaknesses, and as an offensive player, you have to find a way to limit or hide your weaknesses and play to your strengths. And I think the last three guys that I'd like you to touch on, I personally don't think they're going to get drafted. I think it depends on who they sign on with Summer League, and they're able to put their best foot forward and play to their strengths. And those three would be Robert Franks, a versatile four who can shoot it from Washington State, who was hampered by a program that really, quite frankly, couldn't win very many games while he was there. Jalen McDaniels from Federal Way High School in San Diego State, who's an intriguing prospect, but maybe lacks some strength. And then the third one, from Linden Christian in Point Loma, at the D2 level, the player of the year last year in D2, Dalton Hamas, who I'm not sure if you've had a chance to see him play in person, but I'm sure you've seen some evals on him, a 6'8 wing, who can shoot it and who is a better athlete than people think. What would your take be on guys in that situation that are probably not going to get drafted, but want to find their best opportunity in Summer League?
Well, I think first of all, you have to know, you better hope that your agent has good relationships with teams that fit your style and are going to, again, emphasize your strengths, right? I go back to a player like Lando Parentes from Virginia, and when he got picked up in the summer league, he actually got picked up by the Spurs. Well, that was the perfect system for him to be in, because it's run an offense, pass the ball, have a high basketball IQ, and show out that way. Well, then he gets a two-way contract with the Cavs, and he ends up going all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals before he played this last season and won a championship over in France. And so, you know, that was a high-level winning basketball player from the University of Virginia that was from originally from Southern California. But because he got put in the right situation, he was able to demonstrate his skill set. And he had a decision to make last year even, because after that season on the two-way with the Cavs, he went back to the Spurs, played summer league for the Spurs. The Spurs wanted to bring him in, but the money and the opportunity to have a significant role was greater over in France. And I think all three of the guys you just mentioned are going to be in that similar situation. They're going to have opportunities. McDaniels maybe has the best opportunity out of the three, to be honest with you, to make a roster and maybe get a two-way deal that he thinks is going to be long-term beneficial for him based on his length and his athleticism. Like, he kind of looks the part, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's springy, he's bouncy, he can you know, switch on screens, he can guard on the perimeter if you need him to, and his length is good enough where he can be disruptive if he has to get switched off with somebody that's going to try to post up, although, as you and I both know, that doesn't happen too often anymore in the NBA. So the thing for me is, when you look at Franks, didn't win enough games, and his stats are inflated by the fact that he played on a team that wasn't successful and didn't have a lot of pieces around him. There's two ways to look at that. One is, he had a shoulder to load, so he did everything he possibly could. The other one is, well, if he doesn't have the ball in his hands that much, how will he impact the game when there's better players around him? Can he slide from being a guy that is a volume scorer to being a guy that is an efficient scorer on what will be maybe 5 or 6 shots a game if he's lucky? And I think that's going to be difficult for him. I think overseas is probably going to be the best route for him. And for Dalton, the same thing. A very good Division II player, had a tremendous career, has the size, has the shooting ability, as you mentioned, to score the ball. But you're taking a massive step forward from Division II to the NBA. And it's hard to do. It can be done. But in this case, I think it's a better serve to use the summer league to find yourself the ideal spot overseas. And when you play in the premier leagues overseas, and Dan, you know this, it can be just as fun, just as exciting as playing in the NBA, and you can make more money for a longer period of time. I've got a teammate of mine in JR, formerly known as JR Henderson, who played at UCLA, and there's a name from back in the past.
Absolutely.
And JR graduated college in 1998. He is 44 years old, and he is still playing professional basketball.
Wow.
He's in Japan. I mean, he's literally in his 20th season playing professionally in Japan. He got married. They have a couple of kids. He lives full-time in Japan. I think he's become a citizen of Japan. And he is making a great living, having a great life by playing overseas. And so that's the thing that's so different than even when I graduated in 2000 and the opportunities that I had to go play overseas. I was, like, offered $35,000, $45,000 to go play in Hungary. Like, the money's better. There's more infrastructure put into place overseas now than there was even then. And for a guy like JR, who had a cup of coffee in the NBA, went overseas to Europe for a little while and then went to Japan and has settled in now for 20 years, it's just absolutely incredible. And I think for any player that's going through this process, you should have your eyes wide open and not shut doors of opportunity. And too often, players get hung up on the three letters of the NBA and don't think about the life that they could provide for themselves and their family as they mature and they grow. because the average lifespan of an NBA player is not that long. It's like 4 years tops. And so if you're getting drafted at 21 years old, 22 years old, and at 26 you're out of the league, like, what are you doing with the rest of your life? Because you might not have the opportunity to go overseas at that point in time, because there's other guys that have come out to college that have made the smart decision and have gone overseas immediately to set themselves up.
You know, that's so interesting, the points you make, because, you know, the six players that we touched on with Washington high school basketball ties all have unique circumstances and situations. And as fans of the game of basketball and fans in particular in the state of Washington, you got to pull for these kids. And you got to also understand that they all had monumental decisions in front of them. They made decisions that they felt were best for them and their families at this time, and we wish them nothing but the best. So, Sean, we appreciate you jumping on today with the podcast, sharing a little bit of your evaluation, your experience, both as a player as well as what you think some of these guys kind of pencil out at the next level. Always glad to have you, always glad to connect, and have yourself a great day, and look forward to the NBA draft later this week.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Dan, you're the best.
All right, thanks, Sean.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Scorebook Live Today. If you want the Scorebook Live Today podcast delivered to you free every week, head to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, the TuneIn app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Search Scorebook Live Today and hit that subscribe button. While you're there, go ahead and rate and review us. It helps us do what we do, and we love hearing your input. So be sure to say nice things about Todd and Dan while you're at it.
Washington Federal is a bank based in Seattle that operates 235 branches, and it cares deeply about high school sports not only in the Seattle metro area, but across the entire state of Washington. Head to WashingtonFederal.com to learn more or visit your closest branch.
Want to stay connected to your local high school sports programs? Head to iTunes and download Scorebook Live's speedy and free live scoring app. Search Scorebook Live, smash that download button, and get started today. For statewide sports coverage in Washington, head to scorebooklive.com/Washington. That's right, we've got a new domain. New domain. We were sblivewa.com. Go to scorebooklive.com/Washington, and you can find our extensive reporting, feature stories, and engaging digital journalism. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at sblivewa. So when it comes to Washington high school sports, you can stay in the know.